From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of the third in a series of messages on the I Am statements of Christ as found in the Gospel of John. On 7 occasions in this book, the Lord Jesus used of Himself that name which belongs to God alone, the name by which God revealed Himself to Moses in the burning bush, I Am that I Am. The text for this message is verse 12 of John chapter 8. The context is the narrative of the woman taken in adultery, whom the Pharisees said should be stoned. In their effort to place Christ in an awkward position, they found themselves rebuked and defeated. Immediately following that confrontation, Christ declared, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. By this statement, the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized that He alone is that light, the only Savior of sinners. In expounding this text, Dr. Cairns first speaks of the person of Christ as the light of the world. As we'll see, the embodiment of Christ as the true light is eminently suitable to all that the Lord Jesus is in Himself. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his Faith's Checkbook. Today's selection is called Among the Redeemed. The text is Numbers 23 and verse 9. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who would wish to dwell among the nations, and to be numbered with them? Why, even the professing church is such that to follow the Lord fully within its bounds is very difficult. There is such a mingling and mixing that one often sighs for a lodge in some vast wilderness. Certain it is that the Lord would have His people follow a separated path as to the world, and come out decidedly and distinctly from it. We are set apart by the divine decree, purchase, and calling, and our inward experience has made us greatly to differ from the men of the world, and therefore our place is not in their vanity fair, nor in their city of destruction, but in the narrow way where all true pilgrims must follow their Lord. This may not only reconcile us to the world's cold shoulder and sneers, but even cause us to accept them with pleasure as being a part of our covenant portion. Our names are not in the same book. We are not of the same seed. We are not bound for the same place, neither are we trusting to the same guide. Therefore, it is well that we are not of their number. Only let us be found in the number of the redeemed, and we are content to be odd and solitary to the end of the chapter.
Guilt, my wrong and foolish pride.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
When he says, I am the light of the world, the emphasis is on the I, and I alone, am that true pillar of fire, the essential glory of the Lord Jehovah. I and I alone am the light, in that I am the author of wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I and I alone am the Son of Righteousness. Who can enlighten the benighted souls of men and women, driving away their darkness to bring the light of the knowledge of the glory of God? I am the light of the world. The full revelation of the glory of God, the source of all spiritual truth and understanding, the long-promised Messiah, the Savior of sinners from the darkness of sin and death and hell. This is the Savior's meaning: I am the light of the world. In making that claim, the Lord Jesus speaks to us about his person. I am the light. I think he speaks about his power as the light, because in saying I am the light, he means also I shed light. And of course he gives us his promise: he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. And the idea is there that I impart light. I want us to follow the thought that the Savior is giving. First, he speaks of his person: I am the light of the world. You will notice immediately that he uses a figure here that's very prominently employed in John's Gospel. If you go back to chapter 1, you'll remember that John, in the prologue, says in verse 4 and 5, in him, that is in the Logos, the Word, the incarnate Son of God, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Time doesn't allow us to digress too far here, but just in passing, let me say that for a long time, learned critics have criticized John for his prologue, and they talk disparagingly at times about how he, sort of out of his own consciousness and his own genius, how he dreamed up all these things, how he took certain things from Gnosticism and he inserted them into a Christian setting in the Gospel. And it's all 100% learned rubbish. And if I could get a stronger word without being vulgar, I would use it. Absolute rubbish. Born in the pit, and that's the place to which it should be consigned. You will discover when you read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have taken some of them this morning in John chapter 8, verse 12, that John took the words of the Savior, and of course by inspiration, he took those words, and he wove those words into the teaching of this great theological statement in the prologue. And that has vast importance, that the theology of the apostles, even when it's not actually quoting the words of Christ, is an exposition by the Spirit's inspiration of the very words of the Savior. That's certainly mightily important when you come to study the theology of any of the apostles. And it scotches the stupidity, the rank heresy, of so much of modern scholarship that would take what they call Johannine theology and hold it up against Pauline theology and hold that up against Petrine or Peter's theology, as if these men had each evolved a theology or a philosophy of their own. In reality, all they are doing by the inspiration of the Spirit of God is giving us an extended exposition of the very words and teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be that enough then for that a little bit of controversy. I'm always glad to be able to have a twin-barreled blast at educated ignoramuses who know nothing of God or of divine truth. But there I will finish. Let's turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 1 again, verse 9. I'd forgotten I hadn't read that. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Actually, the coming into the world describes not the men who are coming, but it describes the light. That was the true light, that coming into the world lighteth every man. Now, chapter 3. And you'll see in verse 19, the Lord Jesus says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Then we have our text in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. That's repeated in John chapter 9, verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Chapter 12, the Lord Jesus raises this again. Verse 35. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. And then in verse 46 of chapter 12, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Now, I want you to get the prominence that is given. This is not just some little dropped reference. This is not one of those things that's, you may say, is something like an embellishment. A little bit of drapery to a scene, but it's not of the essence of the scene. When the Lord Jesus says, I am the light, he is deliberately selecting a figure that he employs again and again and again and gives it great prominence. I want you to notice the exclusiveness of this claim. I and I alone am the light. Now, commentators have always said, I remember as a young preacher reading law on Genesis, the gospel in Genesis, and I underlined chapter, or should I say paragraph after paragraph. I was so blessed by reading it when he gave his evangelical message on let there be light. And he talked about the characteristics of light and showed them to be pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also true. Light is pure. Light is perfect. Light is essential to life. Now here you're getting to something very much to the heart of the Savior's claim. Light is essential to life. It's essential to physical life in this world. It's essential to the rational life of the world. That's a very big theological and philosophical statement. There is no reason to anything apart from Christ. That's one of the shades of meaning in the term the Logos. Nothing has any meaning apart from Christ. There is no such thing as logic apart from Christ. There is no rationality. There is no purpose. There is nothing in the intellectual world apart from Christ. He is the light of the world. We read, didn't we? This is the light that coming into the world lights every man. He is the one on whom every man depends, even his enemies, even those who deny him. They depend upon him for the very power of reason that they misuse to attack him. He is the light of the world, essential to its life in the spiritual and in the moral sense. In other words, when he says, I am the light of the world, he's making a massive and exclusive claim. He's claiming to be God, and he's claiming to be the Messiah. You think of the claim to deity here. There's an old Jewish commentary, a midrash, on the book of Numbers. While it goes back only to the Middle Ages, it carries, I think, in its words the thoughts of the Jews from much, much earlier centuries. And according to this Midrash on Numbers, the Jews prayed, O Lord of the universe, thou hast commanded us to light lamps to thee, yet thou art the light of the world. That was the Jewish understanding of this expression, the light of the world. So when the Lord Jesus Christ stood up to say, I am the light of the world, he is claiming to be nothing less than eternal deity. He's saying in a world that's full of false gods, the heathen have invented them by the thousand. In a world that's full of false gods, with people worshipping false shrines on every hand, I stand forth as the one living, true, and everlasting God, the eternal Jehovah. I am the light of the world. In a world of impurity, I stand forth in all the irreproachable perfection and sinlessness of eternal deity. He claims to be God. He claims to be the Messiah, who you will remember was promised in Isaiah 42 and 6, and again in 49 and 6, as the light. The Father says to his Son, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, and a light to the Gentiles. So here is the claim. I am God. I and I alone. And I and I alone am your Messiah. Notice the graciousness of this statement, of this claim. He did not make it in judgment. He did not make it as a threat. He had just demonstrated that as the light of the world, he could penetrate the secrets of men's hearts. They had all watched that riveting scene in the temple when these Pharisees had brought a woman taken in adultery and had sought to use that to embarrass Christ. They had seen him penetrate the hearts, the minds, and the consciences of those hypocrites until every one of them withered and wilted under the penetrating light of the Christ of God. They had seen that. Such a one could have turned that light in judgment on every man there. But he didn't. This was not a threat. This is a word not to alarm as it could, but to bring hope to the hopeless. I am the light of the world.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.